It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brad Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Monday is in the books. Time to head home and enjoy a sports Monday night. This is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions, let us know your thoughts on how the Colts did in the draft, your thoughts on the Pacers-Bucks series, and any kind of feedback you want to provide on the transfer portal, because that's still a newsworthy topic. Of course, we've just learned, like over the last, 3 days, that Luke Goody is going to IU officially. The speculation ran rampant as soon as he announced he was transferring from Illinois that he was going to end up at IU. And he does indeed end up with the Indiana Hoosiers. Elijah Malone, who was, this guy, You talk about taking a step up.
Mm-hmm.
You go from NAIA, of course, he was player of the year in the NAIA.
Yeah.
But you take a career that starts at Prairie Heights, small school, rural school, in the corner of Northeast Indiana, go to an NAIA program where you lead them to number one ranking in the NAIA national rankings, and then after a couple of player of the year honors, you decide that you're going to play one more year of basketball, and it's going to be at Colorado.
The Buffaloes.
The Buffaloes. Taking a trip out to the Rocky Mountains. And so Elijah Malone, big man from Grace, heading out to Colorado. And then Ethan Morton has found a home. We talked last week about Mason Gillis transferring to Duke.
Yeah.
Ethan Morton is heading to Colorado as well.
But
Colorado State.
Yeah. So they'll be rivals there.
Yep. I don't know that Ethan Morton and Elijah Malone have even met each other at this point. But they will meet next year.
Yeah.
With the Colorado State-Colorado rivalry. But that's where Ethan Morton has landed, at Colorado State. By the way, if you're heading home, when you get home, be sure to pop up your Facebook and watch us. We are on video right now. Broadcasting the show live. We'll do it for another 15, 20 minutes. And you can catch us at facebook.com/1380TheFan. Special chance to look inside the small studio where we, we've done the videos here over the last few months, last year. We've done videos from the bigger studio right across the hall, but today we're in the smaller studio, so you can see what the confines are like here today for us. We were talking about the Tin Caps and the big event that we've got coming up with the Tin Caps, the summer kickoff party, and we hope you get your tickets for that. And if you haven't, be sure to get logged on. Go ahead and get them while they're hot, while they're available, because they will be going fast. May 23rd, Tin Caps. I don't even know who they play.
Ooh.
Is it South Bend?
I'll find out.
But it is a Wizards throwback night. It is fireworks night. And it is 1380 The Fan summer kickoff at the Summit, at the top of center field.
It's the Lugnuts.
The Lugnuts. It's Lansing.
Lansing.
So get your tickets. They're just $40, and the Summit includes not only great seating that's normally reserved just for group guests, You can actually get individual tickets. All you have to do is go in, put what quantity you want, and you can buy your tickets one at a time. And then it includes the food buffet. It includes the beverages. It includes the first 100 tickets sold. It will include the commemorative cup that we've got for our event on May 23rd. So go ahead and get signed up. It is presented by Midwest Box Breaks, and we hope to see you out there.
Absolutely. Hey, just going back to the transfer portal real quick, one other name that we kind of saw was Jalen Blackman. He committed to Miami.
Which Miami, Florida?
Miami, Florida.
Wow. So he gets a chance at a power conference school.
Yep. Yep. A hurricane.
Yep. Who else is going to Miami? Somebody else was going to Miami.
I'll check here for you.
See who else they got. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Of course, the Indianapolis Colts over the weekend, they took care of the rest of the NFL draft. You know, when we talked last on Friday, there was only one pick in.
Right.
Second round, they take A.D. Mitchell, a speed-burning wide receiver out of Texas. Most of the analysts believe the Colts got great value getting him in the second round. He is a bigger receiver. Of course, all the buzz on day one was about Xavier Worthy and the 4.21 that he ran at the combine. But A.D. Mitchell may have been the best receiver out of Texas. A wideout that the Colts got with their second round pick, Matt Gonsalves.
Mm-hmm. Gonsalves.
He is a offensive tackle, maybe even an offensive guard out of Pittsburgh. He's a guy that the Colts believe can play on the outside, either left or right, and if necessary, even move into a guard position. And then they took your favorite player, Tanner Bordellini.
Yeah, Mr. Italian dish.
Yeah. Let's go to Casa's and let's just go ahead. When we do our lunch, when I eventually owe you one.
Yeah, because you don't yet.
I don't yet. I got out of the one from last week because the Pacers
barely
won closer to my score than your score. But it would have been your score if it wasn't for overtime.
Indeed.
So next time I say in regulation when you give your score. But, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to order the Bordellini and just see what they do.
I'll have the Bordellini. It's a fantastic choice.
Great choice, sir.
I love that.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Also, they take a small but very quick and elusive wide receiver, Anthony Gould, who really kind of made a name for himself and really got his draft position based on special teams. Punt returner, kick returner, mm-hmm. And I think the Colts, who have Dallas Flowers and Josh Downs, they probably would like to keep those guys fresh for playing defense and offense and maybe have a specialist who is the return guy. Of course, Isaiah McKenzie, no longer with the team. So I think that is a spot that he could earn a roster spot as a specialist. And then also add one more wide receiver to the room. You have a couple of corners that were taken in the fifth and sixth round, but it did seem strange to me that the Colts didn't really attack corner like it was a major area of need. Now, we talked about the two, at least in my mind, the two biggest areas of need for the Colts was a top-flight corner and a speed wide receiver, somebody who could stretch the field vertically, because if you don't have the vertical receiver, you take away the strongest weapon that Anthony Richardson has, which is the arm that can deliver it 60 or 70 yards down the field. And the Colts went right out of the gates on Friday night, selected A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, who also is like a 4.3 guy.
Oh, yeah, speedy.
4.34, something like that. And so he's a speedy guy on the outside, really more known as a vertical guy over the top than a guy that and a guy that can win 50-50 balls, more than a guy that's going to be running slant patterns over the middle. But but you've got Michael Pittman on the other side who can do that. So it gives you that extra weapon down the field, stretch the defense. And then the couple of linemen, I get it, because you never want to wait until you have to have a lineman, because then you're forced to play a rookie. And the Colts are within a year or two of losing a couple of offensive linemen. And so when that happens, they're bringing guys in now that they think are very close to being ready to play. They're NFL ready.
Right.
And I think they found a couple of guys that are going to be NFL ready. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. How about those Pacers getting the job done last night? I'll tell you this. I miss not being there. It was so loud and exciting, especially when Miles Turner had his 8-point run over the over what, 15 seconds?
Yeah.
That throwdown, that wasn't a dunk. That was a throwdown.
Throwdown.
He jumped from just inside the foul line, tried to actually jump over Brook Lopez. It looked like he was going to go right over the top of Brook Lopez. Unfortunately, Miles Turner doesn't have a 56-inch vertical.
Mm.
But he got in the air, kind of got close enough to the basket that he could stretch out with that long, the long arms.
Yeah.
And then just throw it down.
Kind of Dwight Howard-esque.
Yeah, and big-time dunk. And, of course, that ignited the crowd. And then what does he do? He follows it up with back-to-back threes, and
yeah,
the place goes wild. And it was a huge run. It was a 6-point game. And after the individual 8-point run by Miles Turner, the Pacers were up by 14. And from that point on, I don't think the lead ever got under 10 the rest of the game.
Yeah, definitely a good way for the Pacers to finish out and win a game that they really should have, given the Bucks injuries and whatnot.
And so we see guys last night for the Bucks that were, you know, getting hurt. You had Middleton, who he something happened with him, an ankle.
Yeah, he kind of rolled it, and he had already been questionable coming into
game. He's got two bad ankles.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and it's like he had to go to the locker room during a timeout. We're not sure if they taped it up real quick or what they did, but
right,
he got back out there in time to continue to play in the game. But clearly, he is not 100%.
No.
You've got Lillard, who didn't play last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is still out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he was going to be able to play tomorrow, he'd have played last night.
I agree.
I don't know what kind of improvement you can make in 48 hours other than the urgency that the Bucks are up against.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more margin for error. They can't afford to absorb another loss if he's capable of playing. But I don't see him being out there.
No, at this point, you almost think like the Bucks might just cut their losses and sit Chris, Dame, and Giannis and just give up the series and just focus on next season. I mean, I know you don't want to do that.
I don't know what the percentages of teams that come back 3-1. Now, I know 3-0 is bad. 3-1 is what?
Very low.
75% win it.
LeBron James.
80% win it.
Was, you know, LeBron with the Cavs did
yeah,
it, but that's it's so rare. It's so rare in a 3-1.
But I feel pretty good about where the Pacers are at.
Yeah.
Even if they don't win tomorrow night in Milwaukee, I think they come home and close it out. The way they shot last night at home, the confidence they're playing with, the fan support they're getting, I think the Pacers don't lose at home with a chance at a closeout game.
No, I think they'll take the series either tomorrow night or in game six, yeah.
And then that would move them on to perhaps play who? The New York Knicks.
Hey, hey.
The Knickerbockers. And for those that don't follow the show close enough to know this, the New York Knicks are Adam's team.
Yes, they are.
So it's us against Adam. Not the world. It's us against Adam.
Love it.
And so what should Adam and I have as a friendly wager?
Ooh. Send that to the text line, 46862. What should our wager be? Should it be the Pacers and the Knicks in the next round?
Should it be some Bordellini from from Casas?
Oh, I love that Bordellini with the garlic bread.
Hey, Adam, I found a place with Bordellini. We're going to go there for lunch. Just wait and see the reaction of our server when you order it.
Goodness.
No, but we got to figure out something because I think we're going to end up there.
I do, too.
I think it's going to be Knicks and Pacers.
I do, too.
46862, let us know what's on your brain. We'll try to respond. Coming up next, we're going to talk to J.J. Stankovic about the Colts, get his analysis of the Colts draft picks from the NFL draft. It's all part of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. And, of course, we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions. Don't forget, coming up, we'll be talking Purdue-Fort Wayne women's basketball. Looks like the roster is complete, and there's more players from the transfer portal heading into town. We'll tell you the latest developments around Mastodon's women's basketball coming up in minutes. Right now, we want to talk a little bit more about the Colts draft, what they did, what they didn't do, and maybe signs of the future. J.J. Stankovic is joining us. Of course, Colts public address announcer, also part of Colts.com, hosts a Colts podcast. You'll find him everywhere talking Colts football, and he's talking it right now with us. J.J., good afternoon.
Yeah, good to be talking with you again, Brett.
Hey, it's always good to talk to you. And, of course, it's kind of an odd time in Indianapolis. Normally, the Colts have the stage all to themselves at this time of year. You got Pacers in the playoffs. You got the Fever with Caitlin Clark. You're almost having to fight for your time.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting time here. I mean, you know, the feeling around town. The feeling around town is just, it's so energized by, you know, you've got this kind of trio of stars, you know, Anthony Richardson, Tyrese Halliburton, now Caitlin Clark. It's a really cool time to be in this part of the country.
Let's talk about whether or not you can add another star to that list. Colts have pick number 15 on Thursday night in round number one. I was absolutely convinced they had to get that speed burner wide receiver. If not, grab the top corner. They went for the best player they could get. Does fill maybe a need, but it's only a self-inflicted need because the Colts' prior guys they drafted one after another haven't worked out. Why should we feel different about this pick of Leiatu Latu, which I think I've got that pretty close. Why should we feel different this year?
He comes in as a ready-made pass rusher. You look at the production he had in college, 13 sacks last year. No player had more sacks than him over the last 2 years. His pass rush win rate, which is a stack that Pro Football Focus tracks to see, you know, how often are you just beating the guy in front of you? It was the highest of any player in college football over the last 2 years, higher than a guy like Will Anderson, who went number three overall to the Texans last year. This guy is a really good football player, and he comes in without a lot of projection. There's not a lot. You don't have to squint very hard to see how Leiatu Latu is going to step in with the Colts and be a productive member of the team right off the bat. You know, he's maybe not as athletic as the guys the Colts have drafted in the past. You know, you're probably talking about Quinpe and Dio Dango there, who are, you know, off the charts athletes. But what he brings is that just pass rushing feel. He's got real polish to his moves. I was just watching some of his earlier today, and the way that he can beat you with his hands is really impressive. He's got such a good feel of when to use those moves, when to use counter moves. And then his motor is just incredible. Like, I'm right now in a big piece that I do at the end of each draft. But there's a play against USC last year where he gets pressure on Caleb Williams. And Williams escapes it. But he lunges for Caleb. He doesn't go down to the ground. He somehow manages to keep his balance. And then he sprints probably about 18 yards to bring Caleb down for only a 3-yard gain on a scramble. But otherwise, you know, could have been a big play for USC. So just that motor, that relentless energy, the technician that he is with his pass rushing move, I think that's why the Colts targeted him with the pick that they did.
Is he a true defensive end? I mean, is that where he's going? He's an undersized DE, I guess, but that's where he's going to line up, right?
Yeah, he's a defensive end. I think he was listed at, 259? So you're not talking about, you know, too small there. Maybe there's a little bit of weight he could put on, but and UCLA moved him around quite a bit. They had him lining up over guards on occasion. He can kind of be a little more flexible with that, but I think he's probably a true defensive end the way the Colts play their scheme. He's probably not someone like a Dio Dangbo or Tyquan Lewis who's going to kick inside on pass rushing downs. He's probably going to wind up in that kind of wide nine technique and just get after the passer from there.
Talking to J.J. Stankovic, joining us right now on the Sports Rush guest line. Okay, the draft continued on Friday night, and the Colts did get there. In fact, the way I kind of felt about it, J.J., is I felt like first round and mixed. Thought they had a really good player, wasn't sure how great the need was. I understand the desire to have that pass rusher. It's always going to be there. But I felt like they started to address some needs as they went further into the draft. And maybe Chris Ballard earned some points, at least in my book, with some of the picks he made, because I thought he got value and I thought he got some need guys. And that started. And I don't know. Do you call him Adonai, AD? What? I don't know what to call. All I know is he's Mitchell.
Adonai or AD.
Okay. Yeah. AD, and the dude's fast. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, he's the sixth wide receiver in the last, let's see if I can remember this, 6 years, 10 years, to run a sub-4.34 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine while weighing over 200 pounds. That's a pretty rare trait that he has for someone of his size. But he's a guy who, you know, his competitiveness is what really kind of defines him, and his confidence. You know, hearing from Anthony Coghlan, the Colts area scout, scouted Adey Mitchell at Texas, he made mention that, you know, this is a guy who he really believes he's an NFL player. There's no doubt in his mind, and that comes from what he's done at college football's highest level. There's a guy who caught the game-winning touchdown as a freshman at Lucas Oil Stadium when Georgia beat Alabama at the 2022 National Championship. He has 5 touchdowns in college football playoff games. Only one player has more touchdowns in college football playoff history, receiving touchdowns, than Adey Mitchell, and that is Devonta Smith, who's on the Eagles. He has the same number of touchdowns as Hunter Renfrow had in the college football playoff, and he is one more than Justin Jefferson and Calvin Ridley had in college football playoff history. So he's made big-time plays in the biggest games, and that kind of clutch ability feeds his confidence, and it's something that Colts value when they took Adey Mitchell. It's not just that he's a big, fast guy. It's that he has made the kind of plays that not just win you games, but won Georgia championships. So that really counts for a lot.
Colts then in rounds 3 and 4, they take a couple of guys in the offensive line. And I don't know if this is to give guys a chance to step in, if there is there a chance for them to compete, or is this just simply a current insurance policy with a future potential to be the next man up for the Colts?
I think it's probably both for right now. It's probably more so getting depth on the interior with Matt Gonzalez from Pittsburgh at the third round and then Tanford Sweeney's fourth round. But they're looking at those two guys as, you know, guys can play guard. Gonzalez has the ability to play tackle. Bordellini has the ability to play center. And it just gives you that versatile depth as you're looking at the 8 offensive linemen who you're probably dressing on game day. You like those guys to have versatility. And with those two guys, and then probably Blake Freeland, who was a swing tackle last year, you feel pretty good about where you're at depth-wise. And then, you know, it's the whole thing of, you know, like I've said before, like your needs today are not your needs tomorrow. And for, you know, for the Colts, Bordellini and Gonzalez may not fill a need right now, but a year from now, when Ryan Kelly, Will Fries are both free agents, 2 years from now, Braden Smith will be a free agent, you need to have guys in the pipeline who you can consider as replacements if those guys were to go earn contracts somewhere else. So that's a consideration you absolutely have to have. And Chris Ballard, too, has always emphasized building through the offensive line. These are two guys who are going to help the Colts do that.
Interesting pick in the 5th round. Of course, the Colts shuffled things around, ended up with 3 5th-round picks. That has been a pattern of Chris Ballard's. He likes to take those middle rounds and kind of shuffle things, try to get an extra pick or two out of the draft. He was able to do that. The first guy he took in the 5th round, I look at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is a guy who's going to have every opportunity to pick to get a spot as the number one return man. If he doesn't get that spot, maybe making the roster becomes a bit of a challenge. But Anthony Gould, the wide receiver at Oregon State, undersized but can really run.
Yeah, he's 5'8", 171. Interesting with him, he's very similar size-wise to Josh Downs, who came out 5'9", 171. But Gould's a guy who played primarily on the outside during the top curve. 27% of the snaps came from the slot. So he's a different type of player than Josh Downs, you know, and you're thinking about what he could be on offense. If he's going to make this team, it's going to be because he's a returner. He was a 2022 All-American, first-team All-American punt returner at Oregon State. He took 2 punts back that year. And with this new kickoff rule, there's this sort of unknown of like how our team's going to draft for this, how our team's going to scheme for it. And Gould's the guy who, if he comes in with his vision, his fearlessness, that's another thing that, you know, scouts talked about, this guy's fearless out there on the field. He's the guy who could earn his way onto the roster and be a real weapon, because those kick returns, if the average kicker turns 50 to the 25-yard line, you have a returner who can get you to the 30, you're feeling pretty good about what you have back there. So as the NFL kind of figures this out, Gould is absolutely an intriguing weapon for the team to have and to deploy.
Colts draft Jalen Carlees out of Missouri, and this is a guy that has played everything from corner to safety, and Colts looking at him as a linebacker. He's that speed guy that doesn't necessarily have to have the size, but the ability to run guys down and make the tackle. What do you know, what do you think about Carlees as a fifth-round pick?
Well, as a Mizzou grad, I like this guy a lot. He was a really good player for the Tigers last year. But
I think we got biased
about him as an NFL prospect. And moving to linebacker, is he has 34 1/4 inch arms. Now, what does that mean? That he has long arms. But the point of that is the Colts really value arm length in their linebackers. EJ Speed has a very long arm. Shaq Leonard, another guy with long arms. Bobby Okereke, a long-armed guy. You know, the guys who they've drafted. Zaire Franklin, maybe not as big of a wingspan, but, you know, different type of player there with the way that he plays. That length is something the Colts have valued. And all those three guys I just mentioned, Speed, Leonard, and Okereke, are all pretty darn good players. So Carlees having those long arms is just sort of a baseline for what you're thinking this guy could develop into. He's got to get better in terms of, you know, how he plays against the run and certain things. Like any fifth round pick, he's not, you know, anywhere close to a perfect prospect. But the Colts really believe Richard Smith, a linebackers coach, sees some really interesting upside in him. And as the Colts were evaluating him, they looked at a guy who the Raiders had drafted in 2021, who was a safety turned linebacker, Divine Diablo, who last year for the Raiders hit 100 tackles in the season. So he kind of developed into that role. I don't know if Colts are looking at Carlees to start this year with Speed and Franklin as your two primary guys there, but as a developmental day three guy who can contribute on special teams right away, really interesting pick for the Colts to go this route.
J.J. Stankovic joining us here on the Sports Rush. All right, so we're to the fifth and sixth round. Finally, the Colts take a corner. I thought this was one of the more urgent needs going into the draft, and I wonder if there's a message here. Either Chris Ballard is higher on the cornerbacks currently on the roster, or is there perhaps an eye on a future free agent signing that might fill that void? By waiting until the fifth and sixth round, is there any kind of a message that we can write into this?
Well, I've been saying this all offseason, that if you listen to what Chris Ballard has said, he likes the corners that are on the roster. You know, Juju Brent, if he can stay healthy, we saw some really good press man coverage skills from him last year. Jalen Jones is a guy who, I said this on a podcast I did with Matt Taylor and Case Valier on Saturday. If he was awful last year, teams would have thrown at him a whole lot more than they did. Teams did not pick on Jalen Jones last year. If you look at the number of times he was targeted, it was pretty low compared to other cornerbacks who played similar numbers, a similar amount of snaps. Again, a guy who, if he was bad, teams would have thrown at this guy, and they didn't throw at this guy. So that tells you he's probably not all that bad. And then, you know, some of the other talent that the Colts have, obviously Kenny Moore II has a slot locked down. You're not worried about that at all. But to add these two guys in Simpson and Abraham, you're adding two kind of different skill sets there, where Simpson has that sort of the length and the speed play on the outside. And then Abraham, he mostly was slot in college. He did play some on the outside, but he had 12 interceptions. No player had more interceptions over the last couple of years in college football than Mike Abraham with 12. So a guy who's got really good ball production, a guy who's got great bloodlines. His dad, Donnie Abraham, he led the NFL in interceptions, a Pro Bowler. His cousin, Tim Jennings, who's a Pro Bowl quarterback for the Bears, actually started his career with the Colts. So a guy who's got really good bloodlines, and you'll see how those guys compete. You know, there are openings on the roster, probably behind those three, the Kenny Moore, Juju Brent, Jalen Jones types, with Dallas Flowers in there as well. Can't forget about him coming back off the Achilles. I'm not so sure there's an opening for a veteran corporate. I don't think the Colts view that as desperate of a need, because they've got young guys who've now got experience. They see a lot of upside in these guys. And if you're just signing a corner at this point, are you going to get anyone who's better than Jalen Jones? I kind of doubt that. So we'll see where it goes. Maybe there still is room for the Colts to add someone there, but I am not convinced that the Colts are looking at this and saying, we need to add a starting caliber corner on our roster right now.
When do the Colts have rookie camp? When do we see these guys in town first time?
2 weeks. They will be, the May 9th, 10th, 11th, I believe, is that stretch. That's when we'll get our first look at Leatu in his Colts uniform. All the guys will be around that weekend.
JJ, appreciate it. As always, we look forward to talking to you again soon. Enjoy the podcast, and certainly hope everybody follows you for the latest on what's happening with the Colts.
All right. Appreciate it as always. Good stuff.
Yep. That is JJ Stankovich joining us here on the Sports Rush, talking Colts football, Colts draft, and interesting take on the cornerbacks, that he thinks there's a higher level of talent, just a lack of experience, but there's the potential for these guys to come together and be a pretty solid group. I don't know. I still get concerned because you look at the weapons that Houston has added. You go around and look at Jacksonville. I mean, you're going to have, I think, a lockdown corner. I'm not sure that lockdown corner's on the roster. Maybe he is. Maybe just haven't identified that level of talent yet. But interesting take from J.J. Stankovich. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. Plenty more on the other side. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
You're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
The IHSAA announces today that they have given full recognition approval for boys volleyball and girls wrestling. That was announced beginning the next school year. Both boys volleyball and girls wrestling will be part of the IHSAA sports. And with the full recognition, an IHSAA state tournament is now going to be established for both sports. And those details being announced coming in the coming months. Girls wrestling is going to be a winter sport, which is, I think, when boys wrestling is. So it'll be at the same time. While boys volleyball will be played as a spring sport, just as they have in the previous years during the IHSAA's emerging sports process. IHSA Boys Volleyball Coaches Association has been administering their state tournament since 1994, while the Indiana High School Wrestling Coaches Association has been conducting a girls' wrestling state tournament since 2017. And we've even had some girls that have participated in boys wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to see some more sports getting added to the IHSAA roster. We might have to ask Greg Rakestraw about this maybe sometime later on down the line.
Rake, also, the Colts get 9 draft picks in the 7-round NFL draft.
It's the Chris Ballard shoots and ladders.
Somehow he is able to manipulate the ups and downs of the draft to be able to acquire some extra picks. And, I know we talked earlier, I don't like to give grades on a draft, but I do think there's, if you can pull 3 or 4 guys that are going to make the team and are going to have impact, and it might be minor impact, but it could have impact within the first 3 years. I'm fine with it. I don't know what Latu is going to be. I hope he stays healthy. And, of course, pass rusher, everybody wants one.
Sure.
Colts have been grasping straws for the last, 5, 6, 7 years.
Mm.
And they finally think they've got their guy. But, of course, they thought the same thing about Kwity Paye.
Right.
That's why I'm reserving judgment, but I'm cautiously optimistic at the same time, hoping that he can be that pass rusher coming off the edge. I feel pretty good about A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, speed guy, comes from a good program. And then they got their future offensive lineman, which they had to add some youth to that offensive line room because they're they're not getting any younger, and there's going to be a couple of guys probably or maybe draft or salary cap casualties that might move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get the Pitt offensive tackle/guard and a Wisconsin center/guard. So they're kind of taken care of in the offensive line. The Anthony Gould, I think it'll be an interesting take to see what he does as a special teams return guy. And then they, you know, they brought in a couple of more corners. I don't think it upgraded the room. I think it's just a couple of guys they're going to give their shot and see what they've got. Might have a chance. One of them could be a depth guy, but I just I don't see that happening. And Jalen Carr, I call it Carlies. I think it's Carlies. Mm. But the guy that played corner, played safety, now is drafted by the Colts as a linebacker. He fits the mold of Colts linebackers. And a lot of the Colts linebackers did not have a name when they became a name. Zaire Franklin, Darius Leonard, yeah. Shaquille Leonard. They, you know, they were not household names, and they came in and just with the coaching, the system, it worked out well for them. So he fits the mold of those guys. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I think my my favorite pick by Ballard for this draft was getting A.D. Mitchell there at 52. I know he's kind of the second tier of receivers in the draft, but I think getting him at that spot was pretty good for Ballard. And I thought it was interesting hearing J.J. Stankovic talk about what Gould might be able to provide in some of those kickoff situations that he was talking about.
Yeah, I think he becomes more valuable because of the new kickoff rules.
Right.
And so, you know, having a guy that you can put out there that kind of specializes in the quick acceleration and the shiftiness might be a real help. And he was a star in the punt return game at Oregon State. When you talk about A.D. Mitchell being that next tier of receivers, it's kind of interesting because there's like 30 guys that are on that next tier.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
it's a big tier.
I liked Brian Thomas. I like the speed. Who didn't?
Right.
Of, the kid out of Texas.
Right, right.
Worthy. Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
And so to get A.D. Mitchell, I think they got a quality receiver that's a little bigger receiver that still has good speed, still among one of the faster wide receivers that ran at the combine. And so he does present that vertical threat, but also having a guy at 6 feet tall that can go down and get in the air and get a 50-50 ball.
Right.
And so, and again, sometimes you get these guys, and I was talking about this over the weekend about the Chiefs taking Worthy and they said, I don't know if I'd take a guy that small. I said, well, we're pretty well, you know, Tyreek Hill. I said, but the thing with the Chiefs and what they want to do offensively is they want to put the pressure on you over the top and occasionally on broken plays where Mahomes scrambles.
Right.
If you've got speed to beat the guys down the field, you break off a pattern and you go deep, he can get it out there to you. But I said, the real thing is Worthy may never catch a pass and he could still have a major impact on a game just because of the threat he is over the top and pulls a safety or two back just to give a little more space to a guy like Travis Kelce.
Who just re-signed a new deal.
Yeah. And I said, so he's going to serve a purpose. Even if he's not the weapon, even if he's not the guy they're throwing it to, he'll serve a purpose. I kind of feel the same way about A.D. Mitchell, is that he's a weapon in the toolbox that maybe you go to, maybe you don't. But at least he's going to make the defense respect it and have to play a guy back or maybe a couple safeties a little deeper on the field and give more room to a Pittman over the middle or a Josh Downs out of the slot.
Yeah.
And so I do like the pick. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Best bets coming up on TV tonight. We'll tell you what they are when we come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Got to tell you about visiting Christopher James Menswear. I've seen a lot of guys that obviously haven't updated their spring fashions in a while. Just talking to you. Yes, you. It's time for you to get to Christopher James Menswear. Go see the professionals. They'll get you dressed up in today's current fashions by top designers, all the favorite brands, designers that you know and love. Check them out. They are in Covington Plaza on West Jefferson, a block west of Getz. That's Christopher James Menswear. All right, so best bets coming up tonight on TV. You got a full night, Adam? You're going to be watching?
Oh, you better believe
it. Okay, I'm going to tell you what you should watch. Celtics Heat, game 4. Boston leads the series 2-1. Heat could be a real surprise here if they can even up this series.
Yeah.
And maybe put the Celtics' backs against the wall. You know, the Celtics have buckled a few times, but will the Heat be able to put on the heat against the Celtics?
This would be the worst Celtics collapse in the playoffs with Tatum and Brown if they lose to the Heat with their injuries.
They win tonight or no?
Celtics will win.
Celtics win down in Miami. Also, if you like overtime hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs, okay, I'm just going to tell you, this game's going overtime.
Oh, man.
I'm calling the shot right now.
All right.
Lightning at the Panthers.
Rawr.
I don't think the Lightning goes down quietly. They're a championship caliber team with a championship culture, great coach.
Where's this game?
This game is going to be at Sunrise.
Okay.
In Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Southern. It's a Panthers home game.
Gotcha.
Most people probably don't know where Sunrise is. but it is Panthers home game. It's game five. Panthers lead the series 3-1 after dropping game four to Tampa Bay, getting whooped 6-3. So, Lightning Panthers in Florida. I think it's an overtime game, and I'm going 4-3. Panthers win it in OT.
All right, let's go Panthers.
Also, a couple of baseball series start tonight. Kind of intriguing. Cubs are in New York to take on the Mets.
Hey.
And the Reds take their show out to the West Coast to take on the Tin Caps parent club, the San Diego Padres.
Awesome.
Big thanks to J.J. Stankovic for joining the show today. Don't forget to get online at 1380thefan.com. Get your tickets for our summer kickoff with the Tin Caps. It is Wizards Throwback Night. You can sit with us in the Summit. We'll have a great time May 23rd, but you need to get your tickets now. We've got a limited quantity available, and the first 100 will get a commemorative cup for Midwest Box Breaks. Back tomorrow on the Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.